my folks. May or April of 2006, my mom bought me a brand new pair of kicks, and I ran every which way, even far away from them. They come get me in the Honda.
A Wizard by Wide Orbit. I also was just playing, and you are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM with Katie as your host on the open mic, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. So that song, He's a Wizard, was our introduction to our segment that we're going to talk about with so much frolicking and so much joyousness, but I cannot do that alone, so I have invited here the master of frolicking and the player of catch, Grayson. Hello, Grayson.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for
having
me.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. So my first question for you about frolicking. Okay, maybe I should explain. We're talking about frolicking today because so me and Grayson just met last week. And we just, like, really, we met at the station, actually. It was, like, an arts thing. So if you're at SFU, look out for, like, cool station activities. And, yeah, so we met at the station, and we really resonated with each other on frolicking, especially in the water. But anyways, I wanted to ask you as the first question, what is a story that you have of your greatest frolic?
That's a big question. The greatest frolic. It's probably, I think, like, two summers ago. I was at this lake called Hicks Lake. It's like a smaller one near Harrison. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No.
Not a lot of people know about it, but it's super warm, and there's an island, like, kind of in the middle, and me and a couple of friends were there, and we were just there, like, all day, and having like some drinks and some food and stuff. And I just like took off my glasses, blind without my glasses completely, put on some goggles. And I told my friends, I'm going to go swim to that island, and then left for probably 2 hours. And I was just like running around basically blind, like the most beautiful July day. It was just amazing.
Wait, you swam all the way to the island?
It was like maybe 500 meters. Maybe, okay. Yeah, something like that. Like not, but then like, so there's two islands. So I like swam to one and then like hiked up it and then swam the other one and then hiked up it and then swam back. And it was great. And I was just so, so blind. Like I could not see a thing. And there was like from behind the island, you could see like the rest of the lake and it was like a beautiful landscape shot. And I was thinking, man, I wish I could see right now.
Wow.
But it was like a good frolic in the way that it was just like brain totally off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I think you need to have your brain off in order to frolic. Because mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it's vulnerable, I feel.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're just like in your total expression of joy. Because my greatest frolic is this time I was at Barnett Marine Park. And it was like nighttime and we brought our speaker and we're listening to the Neutral Milk Hotel album and the Aeroplane Over the Sea. Do you know it?
I do not know it.
Oh, maybe we should play a song from it. Hard to know. But, and we were just like tearing up that beach from like dancing so hard to this music and like splashing in the water. I think it's like something where it's like, it's kind of, it could be embarrassing, but it's frolicking, so it's not.
Yeah, it's not embarrassing if you're just like overcome with joy, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah. The beach and the water is it's a shared thing here. This is a common place for frolicking.
Yeah. You know, because my next question was, what's the best place to frolic?
100% the water.
Yeah.
It's got to be the water.
Because the water also kind of like, it's kind of the boss over you, you know, because it can kind of pummel you. And I feel like that adds to the frolicking because there's like no dignity there.
No. Yeah, when I was swimming back from the island, at one point I just got like a mouthful of like lake water.
And yeah, just, like, and like all the microbes are inside of you, like all little creatures.
And I was like half drowning, just like pretty far away from anyone. No one could see me. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, were you able to keep up your frolicking spirit?
Oh, yeah. No, it did not deter me at all. No, okay. It was extra nutrients to frolic with.
Oh, that's good. You were hungry.
I was, it fueled me.
Wait, speaking of food, I was curious about your marshmallow hot take.
Oh, yeah. I think marshmallows are terrible when they're cooked over the fire. I think they're better when they're cold out of the bag.
What's the purpose of just a plain marshmallow, though? Plain?
Yeah, just a plain, like, you're just eating the, like, regular-sized marshmallows. I don't know, like, they fit like right in the palm of your hand. I don't know how to describe this stuff because I know there's really big ones. There's the medium marshmallows. Just pull them out of the bag and just bite them in half, two bites. That's the perfect marshmallow because it's like soft and you know it's not real food, but it tastes good. And like everything about it is so like foreign to like real food. And I feel like when you cook it, you almost like trick yourself into thinking that you're actually doing something that's like not just a bunch of chemistry.
But you're not cooking it to have a warm marshmallow though. You're cooking it to put it on a graham cracker with chocolate and then it becomes real food.
I have another hot take about marshmallows. S'mores.
Go ahead.
S'mores are not that good. They're excessively messy.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of agree.
Chocolate gets everywhere. Marshmallow sticky fingers, graham cracker flakes just flying willy-nilly.
But you're outside though, so you just like leave it all on the ground.
No trace camping.
Oh
yeah, you can't.
My bad.
Trace it.
My bad,
you gotta vacuum that up.
My bad, I forgot my camping vacuum.
Yeah,
but for me, I feel like I don't make a s'more to eat it. I make it just for the experience of making it.
What do you do with it then?
Well, I eat it, but I don't enjoy it. I don't like it.
So yeah.
So I guess I agree with your hot take, but I think it's just kind of like bad vibes.
Bad vibes to say that you don't like s'mores?
Yeah, it's kind of negative.
Well, listen, you know, I'm my own man.
Yeah. No doubt about it. So in our frolicking section, we also have to talk about playing catch, of course.
Yeah.
And as someone who's never played catch with a glove, I was curious, what does that add to the experience when you have a glove?
oh, well, your hand doesn't hurt, and you're not afraid you're gonna like break a finger the whole time. And the sound of a ball hitting a glove is really good. It's very satisfying. And yeah, if you like, if you catch it well in like the pocket, it makes like a really loud pop. And okay, it's like, it's like smashing plates, I think. Like it's, or whoa, you know, people go to those like de-stressing rooms.
Yeah,
to,
like
break
the rage
stuff.
Room.
Yeah, where catch is like, you just throw something and there's like that kind of release, and you catch something and it makes like this really tactile, and you're just doing it outside with some beers, ideally some friends. Mm-hmm. It's like a really good way to frolic and like reconnect with like your inner child. If you were someone who grew up like playing ball and then stopped.
Yeah.
It feels very American to do though, I will say. Like very like North American at least.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you think?
I think so.
People in Europe aren't playing catch.
People in Europe do not play catch.
Whoa, you heard it here first.
People in Japan love catch, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you experienced that firsthand?
I play catch with a Japanese guy a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he loves catch.
That's awesome.
And Japan loves baseball, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And then when you're playing catch, do you talk while you play catch?
Yeah.
Like, you chat a little bit?
You chat a little bit, mostly about, like, the most, it's, like, just, like, dude conversations. Like, hey, man, how you doing? How's work? Oh, that's good. You know, how's school? That's pretty good.
Nice.
And then, like, really you're talking about, like, you know, let's see if this moves. And you just throw a ball to space. Or you, like, spike it on the ground. You're like, oh, no, that was pretty sick. Like, it's really just vibes. There's no, like, your brain is off.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what makes it, like, really good for frolicking.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's just, like, you're connecting.
Yeah.
With the ball.
Yeah. Ball in hand, ball in glove, ball in mind.
Wow. That was really insightful. Now we're going to go to our next song, Lost a Little by Beta Trip. And this is a little Canadian band, too. So enjoy.
Yeah. Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1. Thank you, Embark, for that tasty little lick there. That was beautiful. And yeah, we just listened to Lost a Little by Beta Trip and then Meteor by Emily Yacina. And now, so we just concluded our segment about frolicking. And so now we're going to get into some conceptual pondering. And so something that Grayson had mentioned when we first met was that he has a no swearing resolution this year of 2026. So I was wondering, like, what made you want to make that resolution?
I swear way too much, like terribly, just like alone in my house. Like if I'm talking to myself, I'll swear. And that's when I was like, this has got to stop. Sound like a trucker in, like, not in a cool way.
Yeah, you don't have the truck, you just have the swear.
Yeah, and that's, like, that's the wrong side of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just trying to make, like, an easy resolution that's, like, swear less, which is going terribly, actually.
Really?
I'm swearing all the time.
Yeah. Are you swearing the same amount?
I would, maybe, like, a little bit less. I tried to, because it's, like, it's got a function, right, in my speech.
Yeah.
Like, to punctuate things.
And so yeah, it punctuates.
If I make the words just, like, not swear words, I figured that would be better. So instead of saying, like, what the whatever, I try to say, what the H?
Yeah.
And, like, really emphasize it. And that kind of stuck around for 2 weeks, but then I fell out of it already.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because it's, like, almost funnier if someone, like, I have a friend who never swears. He says, like, that's Shazbot. And
whoa.
For years, I was like, dude, you're a loser. Like, just swear. But now I think he's so cool for doing that.
Yeah, totally.
So, trying to get more wholesome, I guess, is maybe, like, the larger scheme behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because then you can, like, talk to more people without, like, offending them.
I don't find I have that issue of, like, code switching between people.
Oh.
Like, if I'm teaching or something, like, normally I don't swear. Well, actually, no, never mind. I just lied. It's a problem all the time. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it'll open some people up.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, because I feel like people don't notice when you don't swear so much, but they do notice when you do swear.
Yeah, and it doesn't make me... I feel like it's not in line with, like, who I want to be in terms of, like, someone who doesn't sound like a goober.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a goober, but I want to sound like I'm not a goober.
Yeah, be a goober on the inside, but, like, academic and professional on the outside and wholesome.
Yes. Because then I think the gooberness is even funnier when it comes out.
Exactly. Because they're not expecting it.
Yeah, if you seem, like, super sober and upstanding, and then you say or do something that's complete gooberness, but without swearing. It's like, what?
Yeah, they're like, where did that come from? Yeah,
who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
In high school like this.
Oh, for listeners, he tucked his hair behind his ear a la Radio Rebel, circa Disney Channel 2000, my childhood.
Yeah, that's me, for sure.
Yeah. And then, so when did you start swearing? Like, do you have a memory of, like, when you were a kid and you first started swearing, or?
Yeah, it was grade 5, and I wanted to start sounding cool, so I started swearing all the time.
Yeah, and did it work?
No.
Yeah, because...
And I'm still not cool for swearing all the time. But it's been way too many years of swearing. But yeah, I remember it was like recess or something in grade 5, and I heard like a grade 7 kid swear. And I was like, man, that kid's cool for that.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, got the wrong opinion, I guess.
Well, at the time, it was probably cool. Because I think it's like swearing is like a way for you to be like independent. You're like, I think that's like one of the first things you do that like your parents don't really vibe with. That's like easy and that's like not harmful.
Yeah. When did you start swearing in front of your parents?
I said, like, I remember being a kid and saying, I feel like this isn't a swear, but, like, freaking to my dad. And I was, like, in grade five. And he was, like, really upset by it, which was crazy because, like, my dad, like, doesn't really get mad at me at all. Like, we kind of, like, have more of, like, a friendship kind of relationship. And so that, like, really put me off of swearing, where, like, I didn't even swear at all until, like, probably, like, mid-high school, where, like, my dad started, like, swearing in front of me more. And I was like, oh, it's okay now. But I don't know. It, like, really freaked me out that my dad took something so seriously, because normally he's, like, such a chiller.
Do you think he did that on purpose?
Like, yeah.
He nipped it in the bud.
Yeah. No, but now, yeah, because now I don't really swear still. I just feel like as if you miss that, like, the critical period. I've been learning about child development. And I feel like if you miss the critical, like, the sensitive period of, like, swearing, then it's, like, it's never going to be as big a deal for you as, like, other people who started swearing in grade five.
So I'm hooped, eh?
No, I think everyone... Well, I've also been learning about, like, brain plasticity in child development. So you can, like, you can reroute your brain.
But how can I do that for swearing? Because don't I have to build pathways over top or, like, navigate around them?
Well, yeah, it's going to be, like, you're going to be building new pathways and, like, snipping up the old pathways. And so if just, like, every time you feel the need to swear, you do something else, then, like, that new path of whatever new thing you do is, like, gonna become stronger. But like you said, like, with the what the H thing, where it's, like, you get into it for 2 weeks and then you stop. Like, I feel like that's, like, common with any kind of new habit, where it's, like, you get into it and you go back. But if you just keep doing it, then eventually, like each time, like, you feel a resistance towards, like, the new habit you're making, and then you keep doing your new habit, then it's, like, twice as strong.
Yeah, that's the actual habit reforming.
Yeah.
Is when you, like, manhandle
your
instincts, almost, because it feels like it's become instinctual for me to swear.
Yeah, totally. You know, because your no swearing thing, it made me think of, like, slang. Because I have a problem with saying bro and bruh, like, at the end of so many sentences. And, like, I really want to stop because I feel like it's just really lame and it's, like, kind of embarrassing and you can't really call everyone bruh, but, like, I want to. And it's actually really bad and, like, I don't know how to stop because, like you said, it's, like, a punctuation. Like I'll say a sentence with a tone that demands a bruh at the end. You know what I'm saying?
You've got, like, the question inflection.
Yeah.
It's the bruh inflection.
Yeah, I have the bruh inflection, and it's really bad.
Is that, like, you have a surfer accent? Like, what?
No, well, the thing is, since I haven't called you bro or bruh yet, like, I don't have it, like, in tuned in our conversation. But once I've called someone that, then it's, like, then I can't get out of it, you know?
That's a crazy amount of, like, self-awareness, actually. To notice when you have, with each person, you have a bruh or bro, like, floodgate opened.
Yeah. And it's actually really bad, because I had it with, like, I was telling you, like, I met this guy on Hinge, and I was like, I'm not going to call him bro. And then I did recently, and now I'm trapped in it, and it's really bad. It's like...
Do you think that, like, harmed the Hinge match when you called him bro?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The spark is gone.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
Just doused it with bro water.
Yeah.
Just poured a giant bucket.
I doused it with broader.
Oh, my God. No.
But the thing is, like, I feel like saying bro to someone, like, it just makes me feel, like, closer to them. And, like, I just love saying it, but I don't know. I need to stop. What do you think?
I think you should keep saying bro and bruh, 100%. I think bro, yeah, it, like, invites a level of familiarity. Like,
yeah.
When someone calls me bro, I'm like, yeah, dude, we're bros.
Yeah, like, it makes me feel closer to someone, like, even if I don't know them. Like, I work at a daycare as well, and I call the kids bro, and they call me bro, and there's just, like, we feel connected now.
Yeah, that's really endearing. And bruh is, like, a good punctuation that's not swearing.
Yeah, like, when you're annoyed at something, you're just like, bruh.
Yeah, like your seatbelt stuck, and instead of swearing, you just be like, bruh.
Yeah, and it, like, yep. Feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, it feels like you're talking to someone. You're like, bruh, even when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Bruh is always with you.
Amen to that.
Exactly. Wait, let's see. We should pull out the emergency question. Wait. Actually, no, we have a whole other set of conceptual pondering that I forgot about.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know more than me. But we were talking about like how things can transcend media the other day. So that's like if you watch a movie and then you tell it to your friend and your friend still like loves the movie just based off of like how you've explained it to them, then that movie can like transcend media. Like for me, like I've never watched Seinfeld, but my dad has like recited Seinfeld to me like an oral history. And so I feel like connected to the story and like all the characters and stuff. And sometimes now like I'll recite Seinfeld to people because I'm like, oh my God, this is just like Seinfeld. Because it just like speaks to the human experience. But we were talking about how like sometimes things can't transcend media, like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, well, I think Lord of the Rings, yeah, like Lord of the Rings is so prolific in media that it can't transcend. But what transcends the media is like what your dad, like when he orally describes, or I guess like it was like a cultural transmission of Seinfeld to you. Like he was describing something that like your brain was ready to receive. Like you were ready for an oral history. Mm-hmm. And like, so you have this like structure of that thing in your mind, and then it becomes like embodied in Seinfeld. And that's like wonder in a way. Like I think wonder transcends media, but it just like is represented in certain media devices. Does that make sense? And so like Lord of the Rings is so prolific. And I guess when we first started talking about this, I said that once they put Lord of the Rings to film, it made like the broader world a little bit worse. Because like when you read Lord of the Rings or you take something from a book, it just like kind of lives in your brain. And then it's like kind of wrapped up really like intimately, in my opinion, with like these unspoken things of like wonder or fantasy